Repeat after me, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes.
Open my ears.
Open my ears.
Open my heart to open my heart to perceive what your Spirit
is doing with me today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. I believe the Holy Spirit is pounding it home that it's not about how much we do for ourselves and how much we are being told to do for Him, but more about what He's already done and who did the work. Am I? I'm going to take you to Titus chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 14, kind of in a reverse fashion. So we're going to look at the answer before we go any further. The answer is, and if you look at verse 13, you'll get a little more, but I really want to focus only on 14 right now. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, to do what is good. The stress I have is to purify for himself. It's not about how you are going to purify yourself. It's about who is going to purify us. A people, not for us, but for himself. And if you'll notice, the two scriptures that came out earlier are confirming the redemption. And that's been on my heart for a week now. We are the redeemed of the Lord. It's not about how we're going to redeem ourselves. Titus is told in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect. For the faith of God's elect. Who are the elect? My goodness, I should have heard a shout from all of you. We are the elect. Mm-hmm. Try it on for size. Say, I am part of the elect.
I am part of the elect.
It's settled by God.
It's settled by God.
I should believe it.
And I should believe it.
Why should we believe it?
Because he said so.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. Paul is a servant of God. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth and that leads to godliness. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time and at his appointed season. He brought his word to light. Who was his word? Jesus, through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. To Titus, my true son, in our common faith, etc. Now skip over to chapter 2. Here's what he's dictating to his son. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slandered or slanderers, or addicted to much wine. You mean they had alcoholics and drugs in those days? Yeah, they did. But to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. You may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach the slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them and not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teachings about God, our Savior, attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation. Notice it's not your works that bring you salvation. It is the grace of God that brings salvation. He has appeared. What's his name? Jesus is the grace of God. You say, well, wait a minute. I never heard that before. Well, your opinion is okay, but I like Jesus' opinion better. You know why? He can be trusted, and sometimes me and you can't. How many have ever fallen off of their high horse? Thank you. I'll rest my case. Watch again. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us, again, redemption, redeem us from all wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. You say, well, that's an awful lot to say. Well, it's only one part of the chapter. And it is God's opinion for people to bring an example of what Christ is like. Our Savior came with one purpose in mind. His purpose was to redeem what?
Us.
Yes. To redeem his creation. Why? Did we need it?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Has he completed the task?
Yes.
Yeah, he completed his part. What's our part? Keep our focus on him. Get to know him. Get to realize who he is and what he has done for us and what he's doing in us. You see, I was watching a program on television, a Christian program, and it was all about how Jesus is on the outside celebrating next to him and next to them. And I thought, oh Lord, when are they going to realize he's living on the inside? When are they going to sing about his residency in his own temple? See, his residency is inside of me and you. This is the temple of the Lord. Your body is a temple. For whom? For him. Now, how many have had problems with their bodies going in the wrong direction? Thank you. How do we teach going in the right direction? We do it by example. You can yell at a kid for 30 days, and that child will not change unless you give him an example to follow. You can yell and scream at a child and try to force them into submission, and all you're going to get is a rebellious heart on the inside. Wait till they get out of your presence and watch what they do. And I'll guarantee you, they're going to retaliate and they're going to sputter. Okay, close your eyes for a moment. Put yourself at, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 8. That's just 3 years out of your life. Dad and mom, or one or the other, has commissioned you to do something on their to-do list, and you reluctantly did the work, but your heart wasn't in it. If you can remember one of those instances, put your hand up. Just one. Just one thing. So you know the rebellious heart is not somebody else's. It's yours and mine. Why? Because the natural man does not want to serve anybody. They don't want to because we belong to ourselves. But when we belong to the Lord, we become servants and we want to serve. We want to give out for God's glory. And those that are willing in their heart are going to find a home in this house. Because this house of prayer was called for all nations. That's what it was called for. It was called for the elect of God not to satisfy their own desires, but to be a people set apart for God's purpose, not for yours and mine. Not that you won't be blessed, you will. But that was the commission that God gave this house of prayer many years ago, even before it was formed as a church. Yeah. Even before it was formed. We did not form this church until 2003. But it was formed in 1992. We have proof of that. Because of a dream and because of several experiences that God did with those that are in leadership. And I'm not trying to qualify us to be better than anyone else. That's not where I'm coming from. I'm just trying to tell you that this house of prayer was not designed to satisfy our great and wonderful self. It's not all about what I can get out of God. It's how much I can be obedient to what He's called me to be and what He's called me to do. That's what He wants. And to purify us is His job. Did you see it? It says purify for whom? It's to purify for whom? Himself. Why does He want to purify us for Himself? What's His purpose?
So He can use us.
So He can use us. Okay, what else?
To share in His holiness. We're to be like Him.
We're to be like Him. What else? If He's going to purify Himself... I'm sorry, purify us for Himself. Is it to do what we want?
No.
No. It's to do the work of whom?
Him.
Yes. And He was a servant of whom?
The Father.
The Father. Who are we going to serve?
Him.
The same Father. We're going to do the greater works that He did in an awesome way. Because we're a corporate body. We're not all about... me, myself, and I, we are about the one who created us to be restored and to manifest the love, the peace, the joy, and even the resurrection power that He displayed in His own Son. When He resurrected His Son out of the grave, what happened to the city of Jerusalem? What happened in the day He died?
There was an earthquake.
There was an earthquake.
The veil was broken.
What else?
500 people were raised from their graves.
Hundreds of people were raised from the grave. They were seen where? Walking the streets of the city. Yeah. Why would God do that? Were those people more special than us?
No.
More elect than us?
No.
Think about it. They were still living in the old covenant. Because the new covenant had not been fully manifest yet. When did the new covenant really begin? Huh?
When he rose from the dead.
When he rose? Or when he sent his spirit?
When he died.
No. When did the new covenant start?
Pentecost.
That's right. Why? Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Yeah. And the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested it in 120 people. They were accused to be what?
Drunks
and nuts. Well, come on now, it's the truth. If I took you back to Acts chapter 2, they were called crazy. I told you earlier. Yeah. I'm not teasing. I'm not trying to make a joke. You are weird considering what the people in the world think of you. Unbelievers will definitely laugh at you because you are a nut in their eyes. You are totally stupid when you go and believe in a God you can't see. Yet they believe in the wind that they can't see because they see the fruit. The vision about the fruit. Why are they all colored like a rainbow? Because they're covered by the promise. Amen? The promise of his resurrection was visible in the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because he came 33 and a half years later as a baby to Bethlehem, the house of bread. He came as a redeemer to change the entire universe. Yeah. I think we've got enough. Just close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I'm counting on you to be the counselor.
And the comforter,
to make this real to me.
Let it not be a preaching
to me,
but a word of life to me,
and a promise to me,
that you are in the process of redeeming me.
I am part of the elect.
Whether my emotions match it or not.
The word of God says that I am.
And I'm going to believe that I am.
And I'm going to celebrate that redemption.
On the 25th.
Because it's the time the world does.
Commemorate.
A redeemer.
A savior.
Born in a stable.
In the house of bread.
Hallelujah.
The name Bethlehem.
Means house of bread.
Amen.
And amen.
Be a blessing to each other.
And we'll be here on Tuesday. I pray that you have an awesome celebration on Christmas Day. I also pray that they're telling us we're going to get a lot of rain, that it'll wash away all the darkness from this region.
Amen.
Amen.